Again, thank you for joining me today. We've been doing this for many months, more than 1 year. And I hope that prayer in daily reflection is helping you. And that was something that I had in mind when we started, to sustain, to let our hearts and our minds focus on God. Humanity goes through difficult times. We cannot assure what tomorrow will bring. But the assurance is that God is with us. And so we can go through this together by supporting and helping each other. And I hope that as we are strengthened in the midst of challenging times, that we can reach also our hands to those who are truly in need of our help, whether prayer or encouragement. Let us reach out to those who have needs, not only financial needs, but again, prayer. Call your friends and let them know that you care for them and you love them and that you're praying for them and that they are not alone. Let us be a blessing to those who are around us. If there's something that is noticeable in Christ, it's his words of wisdom. Let me say that Jesus does not have wisdom. He is wisdom and the source of it. Jesus is wiser than Solomon, the wisest person or human being who walked on the face of the earth. The psalmist says that those who listen and follow Christ and Christ's commands will walk in wisdom. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. This is what the psalmist said in Psalm 119. That Christians and whoever listens and follows what God is saying and lives by them will be wise in life. Jesus talks about blind guides and the rotten tree that bears rotten fruits. Undoubtedly, Jesus was talking about the religious leaders of Israel. Then he continues with two negatives and two positives, positive instructions. He said, do not judge, do not condemn. And then he continued by saying, then forgive and give. And then he moves on by saying, a wise Christian is he who does the will of God. His or her life will be on a good foundation, and whatever comes their way, they will not be affected, even when the storms of life come, because they are founded upon the rock, Jesus Christ, they will not be moved. We cannot control what happens, but here is, I would say, the wisdom that Jesus tells us, that our lives should be founded upon the rock, and that is Christ. I would like to continue and finish that part of on the reflection on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. And from verse 16 it says, rejoice always. The next thing that it says, pray without ceasing. And the third is, in everything give thanks. And it concludes by saying, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. For those who are in Christ Jesus, there are three things that are important that we need to be reminded: to rejoice always, to pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. This should come to a point of a second nature to all of us as Christians. The foundation is Christian rejoicing or jubilation, upon the understanding that Jesus is the true rest from all human striving. As we have heard, Jesus is the Sabbath of all Sabbaths. Adam and Eve had to cultivate the land, albeit free from hardship. Pray without ceasing has something to do with lifting our minds and our hearts to God, as well as the sanctification of time. In everything, give thanks. Life in Christ exhibits these three things: jubilation, prayer and thanksgiving. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul was not only saying these words to the church in Thessalonica, but also to the church in Ephesus, and even to the church in Colossae. When he said in chapter 4 and verse 2, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. It would be a mistake to think that all blessings of God are material, resulting to the giving of thanks. Should I give thanks to God when I'm going through a rough patch in life, when I'm going through difficulty? Maybe it will not hurt, because the situation that we go through could be worse. If God is doing something in my life to prepare me for something, then I should thank God. God, we see an isolated event or an event which we isolate, but God sees things from a panoramic and a broader standpoint. If there's something that God is teaching me to trust Him more, then yes, I need to give thanks to God. In Philippians, St. Paul wrote and said, I know how to be abased. I know how to live in lack. And I also know how to live in abundance. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be both full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And he concludes by saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul is sharing with us the secret of a life of contentment, a life that is not based on the things that happen to him, but knowing that even when there is lack, and even when there is abundance, that doesn't change the fact that Christ is with us. So Paul's happiness, joy, is not based on the things that happen around him, but is based on his relationship with Christ. And again, we call it the secret of life's contentment. In Psalm chapter 92 and verse 1, going back to the subject of giving thanks, it says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Then in verse 5, O Lord, how great are your works! Your thoughts are very deep. In the same, in the book of Psalms, it tells us, enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. We enter God's presence. We enter into the holy place where God invites us to worship him, not with complaining, but with thanksgiving in our heart. We thank God for our daily bread, for the air that we breathe, our daily protection, for wisdom and guidance, our daily drink, our shelter, for prospering the works of our hands. We thank God for family, friends, church, community. If we will look around us, there are many things we can thank God for the moment we wake up in the morning. A sporadic or occasional giving of thanks is and must be absorbed in a larger picture or into a larger picture or a greater understanding of the goodness of God. So when Paul says, give thanks in all things, in everything give thanks, it has to be seen from a broader standpoint. Let me go back to what I said a while ago about Adam and Eve. When God created Adam and Eve, he placed in front of them an array, a buffet of abundance, as it were. Adam and Eve had been entrusted the earth with God's creation and its ability to be fruitful and its abundance, so that by partaking of its fruits will result to thanksgiving. That's the reason why the Eucharist is called the Great Thanksgiving. Because as we partake of what God has given to us, which is the life of Christ, it will bring forth fruits, life of Christ in us and in his creation. The giving of thanks is part of a Christian lifestyle grounded upon the magnificence of the work of God's hands, and that everything that God does and will do is well thought of. God is not only a God of wisdom, but everything that God has done and God will do has been thought of in godly wisdom. So when we thank God, it gives us an understanding that we should be thanking God because of the work of God. Again, from a more broader perspective, not an isolated event that when I receive something unexpected, then I thank God. But how about during the day that I don't receive something unexpected? Should I thank God? Christians should every day thank the Lord. And as the song says, in everything give thanks. Why? Because of the magnificence of the work of God's hands. And that everything God does has been thought of well and properly for the sake of His creation. The works of God have to do with the sending of His Son, the giving of His Son, the handing over of His Son for our salvation, redemption, and new life. And when we look at the crucifix, when we look at the mystery of salvation, when we look at the mystery of redemption, when we look at the mystery of God's love, that should be a good reason for us to give thanks in everything. And that is the Christian lifestyle, my brothers and sisters. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks.